You're listening pretty late. It's that time of the week. It's Wednesday night. We do not talk about, to our best of our abilities, we do not talk about Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton. Although I guess that means we should talk about Johnson, presidential candidate, the Libertarian.
Someone should.
So I watched him on Samantha Bee. I had no idea. Anyway, that's not who we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about Donald Trump.
He gets Tuesday.
He gets, maybe he'll get something in between. But he's kind of a goofball.
Most people that go that I mean, your Ross Perot's and your Nader's, they don't come like real mainstream when they go that route. And it's not that I don't support it. You just generally goofball, I feel like, would for the last 20 years describe that group.
Well, he'll say things like, okay, again, we shouldn't go there, but he wants to get rid of the Department of Education. I was like, okay. And the IRS, which is right. So it goes back and forth. But tonight we are talking about Donald Trump. I know that we got some messages from listeners about our coverage and carrying the speech tonight. We also carried the speech from Mexico during Ro Khan's show. By the way, did you watch the translator for the President Nieto's speech? She was hard to listen to because usually a translator gets the speech ahead of time so that it's a little more seamless. It did not sound.
Oh, I read articles. I don't like videos online.
Okay.
Too much sensory input. Just give me the news.
So, Craig, do we have which one of these is from his, should we do some of his speech today or what's led up to today?
So almost all of the things that I sent you are the speech from today, but I do have another clip from a couple days ago. He said something about the Democratic Party being the party of slavery.
Oh.
Yeah, if you want to hear that first.
Let's start with that one.
Okay.
It is the Democratic Party that is the party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, and the party of opposition. By the way, is there any place better to be than a Trump rally, right?
That it's a party of, I guess he's talking about post-Civil War and Jim Crow laws and 40 acres and a mule.
Yeah, I mean the parties have shifted so much, but you know, between now and then, when the Republican Party started, it wasn't tied to any social issue. It was small government, big defense, go do what you want. I don't care who you marry or what you do with your house or your lawn, all because the point of the Republican Party is to make sure you can do it. Make sure the government does not oversee this. And you see how in the last however many years that's gotten, I mean, since Goldwater or at least Reagan has just gotten completely tied now to social issues. And I think parties evolve, you know what I mean? We're not sitting on the Whig Party anymore.
But I mean, that would be like saying the South is the region of slavery. I mean, because most of the rest of the country was not.
Rest of the country's economy relied on slavery just as
much. Oh, no doubt about it. Yeah, and underpaid, you know, wage workers and industrial, you know, without any rights.
I think history in this country is the people of slavery. And you know what I mean? Like that happened and you can't separate it by party because those parties aren't what we're dealing with anymore today. And you know what I mean? Like you can't pin a mistake or like just something so horrible, something so awful on half of the people that wasn't even a group when it happened. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just, you know what?
Well,
we played the clip, though. Yeah. That's why he said it, so we'd play the clip. And now
see,
we did.
This is where I'm at. Again, I was torn earlier, like, talking about it. So what is the goal of invoking a sentiment like that, that the Democratic Party is the party of slavery, of Jim Crow, of marginalizing people?
Because sorry, go ahead.
No, if that were the case, why aren't more people of color drawn to the Republican Party? Is he saying that we're all just so blind to it that we don't see that it's happening? And
I mean, I think there's a thousand reasons to that question, but there's no convincing anyone of the other side anymore. Now it's so polarized that you are not going to tell a Republican and anything or a Democrat anything and have them change their minds at this point. So all you can do is like invigorate and light a flame under the people that already like you, so they won't just vote for you. They'll talk to other people about voting for you because now it's a numbers game. And history has proven when numbers really show up across the populations, mm-hmm. across the demographics, Democrats win.
Right.
I'm not taking a side. That's just how it is. So they have to play the numbers game. So every time Trump says something so enraging to certain people, other people are like, damn straight, it's about time. And I can do that accent. I'm from there.
Let's turn to the judges. Judges, do we allow? Yes, we'll accept that as an answer.
Damn straight.
Right. Because you're from Alabama and Texas, oddly enough.
Run the gamut.
Well, but if it is to fire up the base and to about a numbers game, but if you're saying that the more people that vote, usually Democrats then win, then they actually would want less voters.
Well, he wants more of his voters. He's got to push his numbers up.
Right.
And they're going to cash in on the fact that Democrats were very torn this year. Mm-hmm. No one was super torn in the Republican primary, which was, I mean, they just threw a bunch of crap at the wall, and it's just unfortunately something stuck that they weren't ready for. Whether you like Trump or not, you can we can all agree that the RNC was not prepared for this.
Oh no, they were laughing about it. I was watching clips today. They were laughing last summer.
And now we're divided. And now, like, the Democratic side is divided because you had so many people in the Bernie camp. So many people that are like, again, it's both sides. It's the revolution. It's the whole new. I'm done with politics. I'm done with being lied to. And Trump, for all his faults and good things and whatever, embodies that almost as much, if not more so, than Bernie did, because he's not a politician at all.
Right.
At least I can, you know, I don't know I can't trust him yet is kind of the thing.
Right.
And so you've got this, if the Republicans get people to vote and they fire people up, they could win. Because even Hillary voters now are like, well, I'll vote for her. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to campaign for her because I was kind of a Bernie guy. But, you know, and so you have... It's a real thing that could really happen, and I believe truly that's why he says such ridiculous things
and caustic things right out of the gate when he said, and that's why this is so interesting today that he went to Mexico. Obviously, the day he launched his campaign, he said that Mexico sends over people with a lot of problems. They send over their drug dealers, their rapists, right? Mm-hmm. And then now you go to today where he goes to Mexico. I mean, and he yells about immigrants and building this wall, and they're going to pay for it. And I wasn't sure what to expect. Because the president of Mexico has really bad approval ratings.
23%. 23%. Lowest in any contemporary Mexican president.
Yes. And by the way, politics in Mexico, the landscape of what it is to try to live a life in Mexico, whether it's the drug wars, violence, and politically, there's been corruption throughout the history of the Mexican
government.
Everywhere,
ever, but yes.
Yeah, I mean, like, I mean, my mother, I talk to a lot of people who come from Mexico. My mom always says, we just figured, just vote for the one, the crook you know the best. And that becomes a cynical way of living in a country where you just know it's all BS. Mm. And we've come to that place, right?
Absolutely.
Where we go with the firebrand. So he said last year, these caustic things, has said for an entire year that he's going to build a wall and make Mexico pay for it. So can I hear some of the things that he said during his speech? Let's see how fired up he was in attacking Mexico.
You want to go to Mexico first, or do you want to hear about his ideological certificates that he wants everyone to get?
Ideological certificates?
Yeah, here. There's a quick clip about this.
An ideological certification to make sure that those we are admitting to our country share our values and love our people.
When is this from?
That was tonight. He said that tonight.
So after Mexico.
Yeah, this was, I think, in response to any sort of refugees that we're going to not allow into the country. We need to get people certified ideologically.
Man, big old sign on the Statue of Liberty that says, maybe...
we'll see if take this quiz.
Have you learned? I mean, and that's always been like Ellis Island. They had that. Like, do you know? Even today, I think the citizenship is like, do you know the pledge? A lot of people to pass that citizenship test know way more than the average American. But that is not what you believe. It's what you know about where you're living.
Right.
You know, that's very. What's the capital of Texas? And hey, aren't you like a big fan of a wall across Mexico? Those are two very different things. And now we're objective. Who sets the criteria for
the
this
ideological
test?
Certificate?
It's standardized testing. We know that doesn't work in schools. So, like,
well, I'm guessing Christian is at the top of the list. I'm guessing that's going to be at the top of the list of the questionnaire.
Oh my god!
Because remember when Jeb Bush, he said, we'll let the Christian refugees in, and well, how do you know if they're Christian? Well, you can tell.
They usually have necklaces. Look for the necklaces.
Shiny necklaces. Okay, let's listen to more of our Donald Trump clips when we come back. It's Trump Trackers. It's Wednesday night. This is the only time of the week that we talk about Donald Trump, at least in depth. We might say Trump in passing, but this is our... By the way, join the conversation. 312-981-7200. Agree or disagree, we love to hear from you more after this. Again, call 312-981-7200, or you can text us, and Craig will get those to us so we can see what you have to say as well. You're listening pretty late, and we are talking Trump Trackers. It's once a week we devote just a half an hour at midnight to talking about Donald Trump. On Thursdays, we do Hillary's Hurlers, and we have a phone call. We were talking about the immigration speech, about the need for Donald Trump wants an ideological certification for those wanting to enter the United States, and Jim has some thoughts on that as well. Hey, Jim, how are you doing?
All right, how are you?
Very well, thank you. What do you want to tell us?
Well, I was just listening to your comments regarding Trump, and it's obvious you're not fans of Trump. But
I am not.
You know, no, I can tell. And regarding Mexico, it's funny that really all he wants to do is enforce the laws that are already on the books. I mean, if you think only the best and brightest of Mexico are the ones sneaking over here every day, you're sadly mistaken. Those are the ones that are coming over here through the proper channels. I mean, if I were a criminal in Mexico and I wanted a fresh start somewhere, where do you think I'm going to go?
So,
I'm coming to America. They're going to welcome me. And the odd thing, too, is if I were to go to Mexico illegally without papers, I would not get harbor in a sanctuary city. I would not get any assistance from the government. I would get arrested, fined, and sent back.
Okay.
Why can't we do the same thing to them that they would do to us? That's probably the best rule to live by.
Well, and here's the thing about people coming to the United States from Mexico illegally through whatever channel it is, crossing the borders illegally, coming here, under the guise of education or travel visas and things like that, and then deciding to stay, whether it's because they're finding a better life for themselves. So you think that everyone coming across the borders illegally are coming here to sell drugs or to rape?
No, not at all. I would probably say maybe it's a small percentage, maybe even 10 or 15%. But how many is that? How many hundreds of thousands of people is that you don't want in the country? I mean, if these people are half as good as the Democrats claim they are, they should all go through the proper channels and we'd be glad to have them.
Or half as good as, I guess, the people themselves are claiming they are, looking for a better life. And the thing is, our economy, we were talking a little bit earlier about Jim Crow laws and slavery. Our economy actually relies quite a bit on the low wages that immigrants earn and the kinds of jobs that most of us won't do. And I know that we don't want to have those discussions either, but it does keep the wages down for the rest of the population as well. So actually having people who can have a pathway to citizenship, I think, is better, not only for the individuals who want to stay here, make a better life for their families, but for us as a country as well.
Well, I'm for coming over here legally with a work permit, provided you do that and follow through on all the criteria and regulations that entails. Citizenship down the road, sure. But for the ones that have come here illegally, I sympathize with you that you want a better life, but I shouldn't have to pay for it. You know what I mean? Because ultimately, the Democrats love touting how these illegals contribute to the tax base. And on paper, some of them do, but when you make $15,000-$20,000 a year and you have 7 dependents, we all know how that works. By the time your deductions are figured in, not only do you not pay any taxes, you're actually getting money from us.
You want to say something, Brandon?
Well, so I think if you take these, millions of people and ask them to go back or make them go back, isn't that an incredible financial burden on the taxpayer as well?
Well,
money that could be going to education or anything that any one of us is passionate about.
Well, see, to a point, if you actually went out and tried to round them all up and send them back, yes, it would be very expensive. But if you enforce the laws on the books by penalizing employers that hire them, by penalizing landlords that rent to them, once you take away a place to live and a place to work, we wouldn't have to deport them.
No, but they're not going to go back where they came from, where they know it's terrible. That's going to turn them to crime, because crime is poverty. It's uneducated people who don't have any other options, and it's either one or the other, and it's generally both, because those go hand in hand. But if you put these people in a situation where there is no legal way to provide and they're not going back to where they came from, like you said, Mexico would absolutely jail them if they don't get killed going across the border to El Paso or Juarez or wherever. So now we have this giant group that has no other way but to resort to crime. And I think just cutting them off, I think that's a bigger problem.
Well, there would be some issues, certainly, but you can't just let your country go down the toilet and then bail out and come into somebody else's. Whatever happened to staying and fixing your own country?
But
we're starting to take in all these people from places. America is one of the most advanced countries on the planet. We all agree on that. And if you're having trouble making it in what really is a third world country in Mexico, if they weren't our neighbor, they would be just like Honduras. If you can't make it there, what makes you think you're going to make it here?
Go ahead.
Well, Mike, where do you draw the line? Because the age-old argument that we've all heard, but it still rings true, is no one's here without immigrating. That is what we are as a country, and we are to avoid having that small 10 to 15% that you referred to over here, we're going to cut off the rights of everybody else and the opportunity of everybody else, and that's what because that's what we were, that's what we stood for, that is our national ideology that we should all be behind, regardless of political view. So how do we say, well, that worked for us and it was great, but some of you suck, so sorry everyone forever? There's a bunch of Irish that committed crimes, there's a bunch of Italians that committed crimes, and we didn't cut off the borders on them. So I absolutely see your point, but it's hard for me to know, well, how would I draw that line when I could just, when we could work together to make it better for everybody?
And to the point about, you know, earning just $15,000 to $20,000 a year, and I guess presumably Mexicans have about 7 children on the average. Every single dollar then actually goes back into the economy. So as far as that goes, and you know, well,
they're actually notorious for not putting money into the economy. I used to work in a print shop years ago, and we had several Mexicans that worked on the forklifts and did other things around the shop. 5 of them were sharing an apartment. 90% of what they made, they sent home. And when they bought stuff, they had no furniture. There were no beds in this place. I went over there. They had a hot plate.
Jim, I'm going to stop you for a second because we're almost out of time. But when you say people are notorious and you launch into a personal story about how you watch somebody actually do something that you don't like, then it becomes not notorious, but your own point of view. We thank you so much. I need to at least get one more clip from. Thanks, Jim. Have a good night. Could I have another clip from Donald Trump?
Yeah, sure. Here's something about him and deportation, et cetera.
People will know that you can't just smuggle in, hunker down, and wait to be legalized. Not going to work that way. Those days are over.
Those days are over. Do we have something from the speech in Mexico? Because that was obviously from a speech in the United States.
No, all the clips are from the speech this evening.
Oh, okay.
It makes sense.
Because he sounded very, like, sort of, like, mellow and sedate when he was in Mexico. Like, I love Mexicans, and they do really good work. Oh, yeah. That was a speech in Mexico.
There is a point to stopping illegal immigration at this point. You know what I mean? Well, you can't ever – any time you sit around thinking, well, how could I change the past? You're wasting my money and time and everybody else's. So however many millions of people are here, the cost it would be to get – everybody out and find everybody. That's another drug war. That's, you know what I mean? And we saw how that went. Mm. So I feel like that is – and they're already working. They're already contributing to the economy. So there's two arguments there, current and future immigration, stopping that illegal immigration, and dealing with the people that are off the books and illegal currently now. Those are two different arguments, and they get so tied in together that you really lose your message coming one way or the other, because they both have valid points if you're dealing with them separately. But right. You can't just dehouse 12 million people.
Ooh,
do you want to hear a little bit of his speech in Mexico when he said
yes.
He had a lot of Mexican friends?
Yes.
I have.
And I happen to have a tremendous feeling for Mexican Americans, not only in terms of friendships, but in terms of the tremendous numbers
so
that
somber.
I employ in the United States, and they are amazing people. Amazing people.
He's not bravado. There's not.
I have many friends, so many friends, and so many friends
so
coming
many friends.
To Mexico.
He's being
and
diplomatic.
In Mexico, I'm proud to say how many people I employ, and the United States first, second, and third generation Mexicans are just. Beyond reproach.
Beyond reproach.
Spectacular.
Hey, that's me. I'm beyond reproach. Esmeralda.
Does he think that, like, Mexico doesn't get the news from here? Does he just think, like, that doesn't happen? He's like, no, they didn't hear all that other stuff I said.
Well, and that was my question to people who support Donald Trump is you know, when he's, you know, caustic here and says all these things about Mexico and Mexicans and building the wall, and then he goes down and he's like, they're beyond reproach. Mexicans are beyond reproach. Does that jive with what – is that who you – Is that still your guy?
Devil's advocate. Sure. People speak ignorantly. You know what I mean? And things, we're very sensitive to this now because language and in the PC world, you know what I mean? So when people say them, when people say like, oh, notorious, and they lump a group together, sometimes that's hate and mm-hmm. sometimes that's ignorance. And while they both sound the same and affect people who are hearing them the same way, there are sometimes a difference in the meaning.
Right.
And I think sometimes we kind of lose how important that part is, because you can be a terrible communicator and still a good person that no one thinks is a good person.
Right.
I'm not necessarily saying that about this situation
right.
and this person,
well,
but I think when we get caught up into semantics like that, it's like, you know, maybe the guy just unfortunately refers to criminals by racial groups mm-hmm. because he's playing stereotypical probabilities. Mm-hmm. And maybe he really does have a lot of friends that are from, you know, south of our border.
There you go. I do want to get to a couple of our texts. You are so right. No one will listen to what the other has to say. Not open to other views at all. And that was from the 847. And from the 630, I've never felt so ashamed for our country with today's shenanigans and immigration speech. That was so insane. It killed my brain cells a bit. Just a bit. Joe, I know that you want to say you're disappointed in the show tonight. I won't have time to get to that call. But if you listen to Donald Trump, he said that I, as a first generation, I'm actually first generation Mexican. I'm beyond reproach.
Beyond it.
So you can be disappointed, but I'm not reproachable. So I'm sorry, Joe, we can't get to your call.